World's a Better Place because you're here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. I got another NBA show for you going to focus. And as the NBA playoffs continue, they are in the second round, the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals, to be more specific. And things are really changing and heating up. So let's get into it. Me and Fresh Faces are here to break it down. What's up?
Nothing much. You know, we got basketball. Most of it's been good. I mean, this round is a little less exciting than the last round.
True. But things are definitely changing for the better. You know, one thing I've really noticed, I'm sure a lot of people have pointed this out, but with this second round in particular, we're really entering a new generation for the NBA. Obviously, with no Curry, KD, and LeBron being out. And then you have the likes of Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton still in there, really passing of the torch, if you will. Even, and obviously all the talent Denver has too, even their rocky start. So this is a pretty good stuff, and I'm excited to see where this goes. So first, why don't we talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets at this time? I am surprised to talk to you about how the Nuggets are actually down 2-0 against Minnesota. Minnesota beats them on the road twice, and they're now going into their home court with a huge advantage. And game three is Friday night, and people really feel like we might see something a little different. So I know we've talked offline about this, but how are you feeling about the Timberwolves and Nuggets right now, and the Timberwolves up by two?
I mean, this game is going to decide the series, game three. But I thought, like I've said this multiple times on the pod, I thought the Timberwolves were especially a good matchup for the Nuggets. They match up really well. The guy who built Tim Connelly, who's the GM of Timberwolves, was also the GM of the Nuggets, and he left the year before they won. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to build teams. Really? This Denver team, we talked about this in the last round. This is not last year's Denver team. Their bench is worse. They're shooting terribly. Like, they can't make a bucket. Jamal Murray is having his worst playoff series, like, ever.
And he's having meltdowns on the bench, too.
We'll get to that. But this is just, they're just were last year. That's not to say that they shouldn't have won the title last year. They kicked the crap out of everybody. Like, they were historically good based on how, like, they really should have gone like 16-2, 16-3-ish. The only reason they lost two games this series is Devin Booker missed 7 shots over 2 games. Like, unbelievable production. Yeah, this series is going to make people ask questions that are kind of doofy-ass questions. Like, hey, maybe Nikola Jokic isn't as good as, like, we think he is, and his MVPs are fraud. Like, no, he's still the best player in the world. Well, yeah, even after the series, he's probably still the best player in the world. But, like, he deserved those MVPs. He was better than everyone else. They beat the crap out of everyone on the way to the title. This is very clearly, like, the year they were all healthy, they won. And yeah. They're clearly not healthy, and they're not playing well, and it's very frustrating to them. And there's no reason this is not going to, like, this is not going to be the Bucks, where the Bucks were like, oh, he's just the Eastern version of the Bucks. You know, Giannis won a couple MVPs, then he won a title, and haven't done anything since. It's like, yeah, but there's no sustainability in the Bucks. Like, they lost last year because Giannis was hurt. They lost a couple years ago to Boston because, what's his face? Grant Williams had an out-of-body experience and shot like 7-for-15 from three-point range in one game. And Al Horford literally had the best playoff game in his career. Like, that's a fluky situation versus this Nuggets team that hasn't really had a chance. Like, this is their title defense. Like, they would have, like, their title is much more secure than, like, the Giannis title. Like, everyone pretty much acknowledges if Brooklyn was healthy that year, they would have won the title. And there's nothing like that for Denver. But on the other hand, they're getting their ass kicked Game one was kind of close. And then game two, that game was over like halfway through the halftime or halfway through the second quarter. Minnesota's defense is unreal. And the thing that's like super demoralizing for the Nuggets about game two is Rudy Gobert didn't play.
Yes.
He had a kid. And, you know, for all the people who like, oh, you got to make those games. It's like, nah.
Gilbert
Arenas. That's his first kid. They won a game. Like, it's if we're talking like game seven to the finals, that's a different story. But it's one playoff game. And he made the right decision to, you know, be there for when his kid was born. And I think there was turbulence. That was like the only reason he didn't make it.
Yeah, and also there for the mother, obviously, the other important part in that. That was just funny. Gilbert Arenas just, you know, this is the same guy who brought guns into the locker room and get caught with them too. He's
but
a
like
crazy,
these
he's
stories
crazy.
Pop up like every so often. There was that baseball player a couple of years ago who missed opening day. I think it was like a pitcher or something. They got mad at him. He was like, first off, there's 160 baseball games a year. Like he missed one. Like relax. But no, this Nuggets defense is unreal. The just straight unreal. Like they're so like Jalen McDaniels or not yet McDaniels is unbelievable defender. Nikhil Alexander, that play where Jamal Murray crossed half court and they like put him in a straight jacket was just unbelievable. The Towns is playing out of his mind. Nas Reed is really good.
He's Kyle really Anderson, justifying his sixth man of the year in the series in particular.
Kyle Anderson's good. Like Ant's a phenomenal defender when he wants to be. Like this team understands who they are and they're just special. And to be fair, I do understand some of the frustration that Denver had at the beginning of the game. Because they were getting clobbered in some of those calls. There was the play where Towns just ran over Jamal Murray and they didn't call it. And so I understand them getting frustrated, but Jamal Murray should have been suspended for this game. Like I think Draymond gets this. Like I know that's the obvious thing, but like Draymond gets suspended for that type of shit. So for those who don't know, he threw a towel onto. He didn't even make it to the court, but then he threw an ice pack on the court in the middle of the play.
Yeah, and the refs claim that the only reason why they didn't eject him because they literally didn't see who threw it. Whether you believe that or not, that's just their excuse.
But it's not like, and I guess there's no like replay rule. Where they go check. But like, yeah, I can understand how, because it's not even like the thing with this Denver team that is going is like they're missing stuff that they don't normally miss besides the 3-point shooting. Like just shots in the paint just aren't going in that they're used to. Like Jokic just floaters weren't going in. It's so they're getting sped up and rattled in a way. Like they do need to go faster. But they, you know, there's like three people who have any confidence on this team to shoot. It's Jokic. It's Michael Porter Jr. Because Michael Porter Jr. at no point ever does he not want to shoot. And it's Murray. But the problem is Murray can't hit water falling out of a boat. Like this has been a consistent issue with him for the playoffs. He's just playing poorly. And they don't have they can't go to their bench. Like you can't replace him with somebody on the bench. To bring it in, like Peyton Watson can't shoot. Christian Braun's not a great shooter. You got to rely on 34-year-old Reggie Jackson.
Yeah,
like,
it's not.
I don't even understand.
It's unsustainable. And we talk about the youthfulness. I think the T Wolves are literally, if not one of the top five youngest teams. I want to say they are the very youngest, but
their stuff is skewed because like Ant's young and Nikhil Alexander is young and. And Jalen McDaniels, I think Nas Reed's young, but like Rudy's 30 and Michael Conley's like 34.
Yeah, and those
so
are
like,
the old
they
guys.
Skew
that's
that.
It.
And I think Kyle Anderson's probably in his 30s.
Right. Yeah, and I think the team collectively holds like about 25, the average of the team.
So they have some older guys in there, which is fine. Like, but their defense is unbelievable. And look, this team is going to win the title. I think the Timberwolves are gonna probably close the series out in five. I think Denver gets
really?
One. I think here's the caveat. If Denver doesn't get game three, it's over in four. but I think they get game three. Or like the thing for Denver for game three is it cannot be as bad as game two. Like if it's like a close game and you lose on like an ant buzzer beater or something, then you've already figured out what adjustments you need to make.
It'd unless it's one of those things where everyone 3-0. Gets
off. Right. Like being back three, like they can come back from 3-1. They've been down 3-1 multiple times in that one series. But they're not coming back. Like even it's not even just it would be a mental thing that they couldn't do this. And it's not to say that this team is not going to come back and win the title next year. You know, they'll probably go deeper into their bench. They have, you know, they've done pretty good drafting. They can, you know, free agent guys are still going to come there. They're not over the cap. They have lucked out. So they're never going to have to give Jamal Murray one of those $350 million contracts simply because he never is going to hit. He just hasn't hit those thresholds. He's never been an all-star. He's never going to be on one of the all NBA teams. He just isn't like there's a lot of talk now with Jokic's third MVP. He is the only MVP. He's the only person on that list who has had zero accolades from any of his other teammates. There's no all-stars. There's no defensive player of the years. There's no all NBA guys, nothing. He's had nobody. Like, if you want to talk about a guy who's had the least amount of help, it's him.
And that whole team makes it seem smoother than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, they haven't even imported people. Like, I mean, I guess you could make the argument, oh, DeAndre Jordan counted, but DeAndre Jordan hasn't been an all NBA caliber player in like 10 years.
Yeah. And you forget he's still around. So it's
not like that really counts, but like he hasn't had it. And you can make the argument, oh, Jamal Murray, you know, should have been an all-star, but like he's in that same like Damian Lillard, Mike Conley era where there's like so many fucking guards that they can't get them all onto the roster and somebody gets screwed up. Cause you know, you're always going to have your legacy guys, the LeBrons and like the Kobe's type stuff. But like, that's an insane thing. But this Timberwolves is unbelievable, man. They are just so far. And Ant is so good. And he's like, he's going to be one of the faces of the league. He's not going to be the face of the league because, you know, unfortunately for him, Wemby exists. And he was just the sixth unanimous rookie of the year. So
with this collapse, it being a heavy favorite at one point with Denver, it seems from your previous answer, it doesn't seem it would be that devastating if they get knocked out in this round. But you just find out now there really is another player in Minnesota. I'm sure you can agree with that. Like they would just, like you mentioned, make the adjustments in the offseason to get back there.
Well, that would be the thing. Because you understand now what you're playing because this is kind of like the Warriors where they tried to do their two timeline thing. Part of the way the cap works now is you're just kind of screwed once you get paid. You pay guys too much. This is Phoenix's problem. So you have to be smarter drafting. And in theory, they got good guys that they got, like Peyton Watson and some of their other young guys. And they may play more in the next year. But, you know, you do need more of a bench. I imagine they'll try to bring back Bruce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably go for to bring a little center depth in because that part of the thing is there's just no size. Like outside of Jokic, they don't have a big guy who they can really just like either who can slide into part-time center, like bigger than Aaron Gordon, or somebody who can play next to him. They need like a kind of like a Miles Turner type, but they just need some size or somebody off the bench. And I feel like it may end up being Andre Drummond, but Andre Drummond has literally never been the answer. so I don't know. It'd be interesting, but that's probably where they're going to go. They're going to need probably a little bit more creation on the wing and then a deeper bench.
So now who would have thought, you know, we just talked last week about how Minnesota won their first playoff series since 2004. And, Now, I was looking at the accolades for the entire franchise. It's really, there's nothing. Like, I had this save right here with Minnesota if they're really about to make this run and actually win the West. So, we have here for a team that started in 89, zero championships, zero conference titles, zero division titles, no culture whatsoever, and now they might be really onto something and actually win a finals. That's your favorite right now. What this team has turned into, thanks to the rise of Anthony Edwards and getting these big acquisitions in the offseason as well, like a Rudy and stuff, like pretty impressive what this franchise is, has the chance to become and an NBA champion right now.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty impressive what they've done.
Definitely. So why don't we continue on and now go to one of the Eastern series. We have the Knicks and the Pacers. At this moment, the Knicks are up on the Pacers 2-0. You and I discussed about how we expect this series to go fast, and the first two games were pretty close. In fact, you could argue that Indiana really should have won game one. Game two, the Knicks run away with it with an insane OG performance, but OG looks like he has a hamstring issue. We will not see him in game three. I doubt we see him in game four, maybe not even the series. We know those hamstrings are hard to work with. And you have Jalen Brunson, possibly with a foot issue. He's questionable, but he seems like, to his words, that he will be okay. And they didn't check an MRI to see if there's anything changed. He must have just got really hurt. But at this moment, with the Knicks up, but they're losing a major player in OG now, you still expect the Knicks to take care of this in 4 and 5, but the next series will be really, really tough. Obviously, assuming Boston gets there.
You think they're going to sweep Indiana? They have, four healthy players.
I think it's going to 5, but now with this injury, it could be a little different. I will have to stick to my guns with it. But coming into the series, I originally thought it was going to be Knicks in 5, despite, as you mentioned, Indiana's deep bench, major scorers, and stuff like that. But now with this injury, the series could look a little different, especially with no OG.
Yeah, so if I was not Tom Thibodeau, because Tom Thibodeau probably wouldn't do this, I think I would rest Jalen Brunson in game 3.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I don't know who, like, if you rest Jalen Brunson, you're going to lose the game by 30.
And, like, you know, one thing to add to that, too, with Deuce McBride getting more minutes, and he got more minutes in game 2, obviously, because Brunson didn't even play in the second quarter, and he actually struggled. And also now with not only Halliburton being the all-star he is, but seeing what TJ McConnell was turned to, and he was actually given a lot of problems on Brunson on defense. I agree with that stance that they could that would be a huge miss and quite a sacrifice. But I personally don't think that's the worst idea in the world if it means you'll get him healthy the rest of the way, making sure there's no major damage.
Right, because, like, the worst-case scenario is he plays game 3, he gets hurt further, and then you lose the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the other hand, maybe he remembers that Alex Brook is on the bench, or maybe Precious gets some confidence in himself, or something like that. Because who is starting in place of OG now anyway? I mean, it doesn't matter. Josh Hart's playing 48 minutes a game. like, DiVincenzo's found his stroke this series. Yeah, I think you throw this game. I do, because, like, if you limp into Boston with whatever patchwork where it's basically like the Villanova big three and whatever other person like walked in off the street, you're not going to win a game. I think it's, you know, the biggest issue is Siakam gets his confidence back, because he has not been playing well. He was playing well in the first series, mostly because they couldn't guard him. But he has not been playing well. Halliburton's been on and off, but he hasn't been great this postseason. I imagine you'll probably see more TJ McConnell, who's like always been a solid backup. He's like a great defensive backup, so he'll probably come back if there's more Brunson. I don't know. I thought this Indiana team would have more firepower to it, and it just doesn't. But this good on these Knicks teams. Like, you know, this is going to be the best Knicks team since what? 2000?
Yeah, It is, yeah. Best 125 years. And doing it in this Thibodeau way with all these Ironman players has been impressive. But now your biggest worry might come true with all of that mileage. The car starts breaking down, and now we might see that could happen.
It's not a mile. Well, it's Mitch Robinson. What exactly was his issue? It was a foot thing, right? Wasn't this continuation of last series?
Yeah.
And OG's is a hamstring. So
OG with the hamstring, and it's an ankle injury officially for Mitch Robinson, and he said that he was playing on one foot the whole time, but he's ruled out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just – some of this stuff is fluke. Like, I think the OG thing is just, like, fluke. It wasn't like he was super healthy during the season anyway.
No, not at all.
So,
right.
That's not – like, you know, I don't know. I think this is a much better game for the Dicks than it is for Indiana. This is kind of like you're testing the waters. I think, if anything, the best thing that happens for this for Indiana is it may bring down Pascal Siakam's price. And if it does that, that'll give him more wiggle room to do other stuff, to maybe upgrade in other places. But he has not been playing well. And that's probably hurting them more than, well, anything not named Jalen Brunson, because he's been killing them. So there's that. I don't know. It's an interesting series. It's this team is just a lot. They absolutely should not have won game one. Like that was an egregious moving screen call. You like
with DiVincenzo's acting skills.
That's one of those
skills.
Can't call that. You can't call that.
Yeah, this was gonna perfectly segue into my point about a lot of people criticizing the officials. A lot of people on Twitter saying this is now the refs in NBA are working their ways to make sure they had to confirm and make sure they'll have a Knicks and Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, with players calling the double dribble on Hardenstein, as you mentioned, the screen to the...
So that was a bad call. Didn't they overturn the double dribble?
Yeah, pretty much the other refs said, no, that's not it.
Yeah,
but Rick
just
Carlisle just lost his shit because, as you mentioned, they've been getting killed by the officials, and I'm not going to deny it. I mean, as for a team who's seen every single one of his teams in all sports been screwed by officials or refs or umpires, I'm just going to go with the part of the game argument, but I could see if I was in Indiana shoes how you'd lose it. And I was wondering your thoughts on Rick Carlisle coming at refs. Using the small market team aspect, even though OKC and Minnesota are making deep runs at small market teams, do you feel he has a right to be this upset? And also the 2 minute reports confirming their mistakes.
I don't understand. Again, we've talked about this before. I don't understand the point of the 2 minute report. Like, why even have? It doesn't change anything. It just pisses everybody off. If it's just for content, just say it's just for content. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could be mad about, you know, things not going your way. Ideally, Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. You really don't want to have to worry about the point where the refs are deciding the game for you by just being better than the other team. And they just haven't been playing better. But like the small market, like here's 78 fouls that you missed, is that's a bitch move. It was a bitch move when Philadelphia did it. It's a bitch move when they did it. It's get over it. That you're going to get calls that the other team's not going to get. That's just how it is. You just got to play through it. You want to complain, yell at somebody, yell at Pascal. Make him play better.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Nesmith and what's his face? Their point guard, the Nembhard. They're doing their best. It'd be better if they could stay with Brunson or stop leaving DiVincenzo open. Like, what the fuck were they doing? They left DiVincenzo open multiple times in the end of game two. That's more why you lost than anything else.
Right, with the key. Yeah, you're right. They just outplayed
him. Did he hit like 8 threes?
I think it was 6 for game two, but feels like 8. Well, he's definitely making it rain. And yeah, now we'll see what happens game 3 on Friday night and see how Thibs is going to move this rotation now with these injuries. But I still feel the Knicks can pull this off. And when we actually get to the Eastern Conference Finals, we can worry about it then and see where the rosters are at for both teams. as we might as well talk about the Celtics and Boston now. Now, as we're seeing it, we're recording live in the middle of game two with the Celtics, sorry, with the Cavaliers destroying. Looks like they're going to win by at least 25 points. But as we said,
I know they're up 12 at halftime.
Yes, at this moment, the score is 116 to 89. But do you and all the backups are in. So do you still feel like similarly to this first round, they just give them one?
They get one. It's different than the first round. Like I thought Cleveland was going to get one just on Donovan Mitchell going crazy, or just them getting hot. This Boston team's not a full strength because I don't think Porzingis is coming back this round. But yeah, Indiana gets one, or Cleveland gets one. I always figured this would go five. They're not better. I think if they get another one, then it's a problem. Or if without looking, you know, having watched the entirety of the game and looking at the box score, it depends on the way they won. Like, did they win like Miami did, where they hit just an absolute fuck ton of threes? Or was it just like a deeper issue that the Celtics may have just because they're trying to figure out how to play around without having a Porzingis? That's ultimately what will decide the series. I imagine it's more of a hot shooting night. Celtics just
Derek White better. Was terrible at 3 for 11 here, only 1 3. Evan Mobley, who people were criticizing being slow with the offense, he did get a double-double at 21, 10, and 5. And then another Mitchell 29, 7, and 8. So it seems like it was an off night here, as I'm seeing. I mean, the Boston went 39, only went 40% in the field. So just another slow night, but I agree with you. It's all Boston. I don't expect him to lose anymore in the rest of the series. And they'll be back in the Eastern Conference Finals as expected. You'll just wonder if Donovan Mitchell, if they're not going to win this, is he going to request out and Cleveland will have to start looking for a new star? You think that's going to happen?
Well, either way, they're going to make moves, because let's say Donovan Mitchell stays. They're not going to keep Darius Garland. I think he's probably going to get moved. And I don't know if they keep Jared Allen either. Like, it's clear you're not going to keep both of your bigs. And Darius Garland hasn't been great this postseason. So you're going to have to do something to change. Because the stat that, like, watching that them play the Magic, there was, like, that run he had, Donovan Mitchell had, in game 5 to 6. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, where he scored. I didn't realize how big it was, but he scored every single Cavs point from the end of the third quarter in game 5 to the second or third basket of the first quarter of game 6 or game 7. I don't know if I've ever seen a player score every single point for his team in a quarter like that.
It wasn't like a Dwight Howard in his little run, nothing like
But Dwight wasn't a good scorer. Like, somebody else would have to have scored. Like, how are you in the locker room with him after that going, how the fuck did nobody else score for that? Like, I didn't realize how long the streak was. Like, I didn't realize anybody else hadn't scored at the end of the third quarter. But, like, that's insane. He dropped 50 points and nobody else scored in the fourth. That's, like, an insane thing to have happened. And I would love for somebody to, like, figure out if that had – I can't imagine it's ever happened before. This Cavs team is, you know, they're not it. I don't know where they go from here.
And you don't think
but
even
to be
with
clear,
healthy...
it's not that they're not it because, like, oh, they made the Donovan Mitchell trade, they shouldn't have. The Donovan Mitchell trade made sense, and it still makes sense. Like, people thought Mobley would develop more. They thought, like, in hindsight, it would make more sense. And it just didn't work out in the way that, like, they don't have enough wings. They got absolutely bullied last year. So, I mean, it's they're an interesting team. Like, I mean, they may end up with, like, LeBron may come home next year, and then this is a totally different team. I don't know how much LeBron changes your franchise at this point, especially if you're Cleveland.
Just for straight, you know, PR reasons at this point. And I have to say, you know, our LeBron clip this past week, 20,000 impressions across all platforms. Great work on that, Faces. And everybody just loves to talk LeBron and see where he goes, but worry about that later. And then our last series at this moment, Oklahoma City and the Mavs. Oklahoma is up 1-0. And we can worry about where that goes a little later, in the sense that, do we see Dallas having any chance? And game two will be on by the time we're recording. But regardless, with game one in OKC, Shea goes off. Luka doesn't have the best game. Kyrie, poor performance. And OKC just playing as a cohesive unit, getting their shots, getting their boards. Chet's looking really awesome, turning out to be this player that people are really excited to see. I don't know about you, but I feel like Luka is not at 100%, and that's really, really going to...
And that's probably why, like, that's a big reason why they're going to lose. Also, the fact that, like, the thing that Oklahoma City's general weakness is their inability to rebound. But, like, that's not a huge indicator. Like, granted, the Knicks, like, absorb boards, like, an insane amount, and that's, like, gives them an advantage.
Especially offensively.
Yeah. But they out-rebounded Dallas in the first half. And, you know, the idea that, like, okay, you could slip it and then throw it to Daniel Gafford for him to make a play. He was terrible. Like, yeah. He had, like, four or five layups where he caught it on the short roll and went to make a play, and he just bricked it. It was bad. And, you know, obviously somebody, you know, if you're making that pass to somebody like Draymond, it's a different story. But he was terrible making that play. And that's going to be a problem. Also, Oklahoma City is so fucking deep. Like, the criticism in the last series was that they may have been too deep, but it doesn't matter. Like, the game plan that Dallas went with was, we're going to leave Josh Giddey open. And Mark Dagholt was like, okay, I'm just not going to play Josh Giddey. I'm going to play Wiggins. I'm going to play Isaiah Joe. I'm going to play Carson Wall, Edwards, all of which are just better shooters and defenders than Giddey anyway. I mean, they don't have his size, and he's a better passer, but they just stretch the floor more. And that makes more of a problem for them. So they mitigate a lot of the fact that they're smaller by just being faster and, like, really good at shooting. Like, they just have so many different options, and Dallas doesn't have that because, like, if they leave Josh Green open, Josh Green's not going to make them pay as often as, like, Wiggins or some of these other shooters are. But, you know, that's the way it looks. So without a healthy Luka, they're not going to win the series, unless Kyrie pulls off some magic. But, like, it's hard to tell with this Dallas team what you're getting night in, night out. But
yeah, Oklahoma same City's with Kyrie good. Especially. You don't know what you're going to get at him night in or night out. There's some times in this postseason where you felt like Kyrie – really is turning into, you know, the guy really overshadowing. I mean, the triple play, the triple coverage, making that layup alone shows how much will he was willing to put his team on his back. But at least in game one, it wasn't the case. And, you know, you have it. He has it in him to take over the series, but.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a very different thing. Like, they were getting guarded by, like, Amir Coffey and, like, Paul George. And now they're getting guarded by, like, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, or Carson Edwards. Like actual people who could play, like, legitimate defense. Like, the Clippers aren't a defensive team. Oklahoma City has – like, Shea is a fantastic guy. I think he led the league in steals the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic defender. Like, they have good defenders. And then, you know, they're young and they're hungry. This team is going to be a problem for a long time, because they have a million draft picks. They're young. They're good. They're, you know, they're all on. They have Chet on a rookie contract for at least 2 years. They have Jalen on a rookie contract for at least another year. I don't know if they're gonna have to when they're gonna have to re-sign Shea. They're probably not gonna re-sign Giddey. They're gonna just trade him. So like they're fine. They're gonna win this series. They'll probably win in, I think they actually may win in five. I think there's Dallas gets one good Luka Kyrie game and then they kind of just run away with it. I don't think Dallas is healthy enough. Then I don't know where they go.
So do you think Shea should have won the MVP over Jokic?
No, Jokic should have won the MVP. He was the best player.
What do you think?
He just was.
What do you think about the aspect of Shea leading this OKC team to a one seed and backing up in the playoffs? Do you think that is a matter of fact?
Those are different things. Like if Embiid had been healthy, he would have been the MVP. But he probably would have lost in the first round or the second round anyway. Like it's a different, it's the playoff, there should be playoff MVPs, and I mean there is, it's the Larry O'Brien trophy, but like it's different. I think Jokic is the best player. Shea's team was better, like they just played better consistently, and also like, you know, they're coming off a championship hangover. Jamal Murray missed a ton of time. That's the other thing. Minnesota and Oklahoma City were incredibly healthy this year. Like they were the healthiest teams in the league. Like they did not, well, other than Cat going down basically at the end of the year, they were like healthy across the board. That was a big reason why they were, you know, as good as they looked.
Yeah.
They had good injury luck, which is surprising, especially when you consider somebody like Chet, who weighs like 15 pounds more than I do. And then the pounding he takes basically being their sole big guy. Like the fact that he didn't roll his ankle and was out 2 weeks is like a goddamn miracle.
The best ability is availability. And yeah, like I said with you, and we mentioned with the second round, the matchups aren't as attractive maybe as the first round towards the end. And there's still plenty of series to go. Who knows? But it seems right now the teams that are supposed to win are going to win it in a short amount of time, in a short series. And might as well save the time to break down the actual conference finals when we get there. But regardless, let's still see if we can enjoy some basketball. Let's see what adjustments teams have to make, especially amongst the injuries. And
draft lottery Sunday.
Yes, draft lottery Sunday. We'll see who's going to get some luck. You have any predictions for that?
Spurs end up with two top 10 picks. I think the Raptors fall to 7. I can't, like,
so why do the Spurs get to get lucky again like that?
No, I don't even care if we get one. If we get 5, 6, and 7, that's fine. Like this is not a year we get one. We're taking topic with our first pick anyway. The Raptors were tanked so blatantly with the Jontay Porter thing. They don't deserve a pick this year. Just make them at 7. And it's a 54% chance anyway.
I just saw with the Knicks at a long time blatantly trying to tank and they'd only get to third, and that third overall pick's not even on the team.
Okay, but like think about how much better off you would be if you had Zion. Like how much more miserable.
Oh yeah. It's definitely not a complaint. It's just I'm saying those teams that are blatantly trying to tank, they caught on with the Sixers that, you know, they gotta stop this. So
well, that's why they flat me off. So it hasn't really worked. Like the I don't know the last time the worst team in the league got the number one pick, because the Pistons have been the worst team in the league the last 2 years.
At least they have some future ahead.
But like the reason they were the worst team this year is they have the worst coach in the league.
That's one of the most expensive though, with that fat contract to Monty Williams.
Yeah,
but it's you know, if the Spurs get it again, why not? For you specifically, I'll be happy for them. But you know. Every decade, they just hit at the right place at the right time.
Listen, it's fine. Well, in 2050, when we draft the next historic, you know, big man prospect, it'll be fine.
I just want somebody else. That's why teams like a Minnesota. Well, actually, you know, it's them.
It's not. Yeah. It's not going to be that long. They're going to get the pick from the Hawks at some point in the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they're going to get the next guy. I don't know if it's going to be next year with Cooper or whatever other big man. No, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Wemby's brother.
I didn't even know. Wemby has a brother? Is he on his level?
I think he's slated for 26 or the 27 draft.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Just Wimby's brother. All right. Well, I'll do some research on that. I mean, if he's a 7'6", I could shoot a 3 in there. 6'8". Okay. Wow. Wow, his brother really at 6'8", almost a foot taller than him. But hey, I'm going to do some research on the other Wimby. I'm really intrigued. And I don't know if you saw, I thought it was expected that they were going to announce the TV deal last week, but I guess they're in final negotiations. It looks like NBC is going to get that third spot. It looks like Peacock and NBC Universal is getting the TV rights. And I think it's $2.8 billion they're offering, and they're going to see if TNT matches it. And if they don't, well, and that would be a bummer to lose inside the NBA. And they have some really good, and they have some amazing play-by-play. Kevin Harlan's great. I like Brian Anderson's good. Iron Eagle. I think it would just stink to see Turner lose the NBA.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, if you're going to lose the NBA, you should at least try to pick up the WNBA, at least to keep something. Because you can probably get it for relatively cheaper and then still have some type of ability to be like, we were the first ones to, like, really package this. Because I don't even know what channel WNBA games are on, much less when they're on.
Yeah, I guess the only ones I could think of is just the local markets get them, and then, like MSG holds the, yeah, like MSG will put on Liberty games and stuff like that. But obviously now with Caitlin Clark coming in her draft class, you might be seeing a real push for this league. And I believe they're about to start next week, and the preseason is, or preseason start next week. Anyways,
I think they're playing because she was playing games.
Yeah, they start in the preseason, so we'll see, especially once the finals are done, if will be a special summer where if they can outrate baseball, that'd be something. And we'll see. I just don't know what we'll see. I don't know the how much of effect it will be. I'd have to do more research on that. But anyways, great work as always, Faces. I'll see you next week to see where these series go. Or we'll be previewing a conference finals a little early. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
See ya.